I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ola, it's Miles. How about this? Maybe you'd like to hear more of The Men's Room.
I know. You can't get enough of us. Subscribe to the greatest story never told on radio.com.
Let's get caller 9 on the line right now for a little profile. That's 844-999-OLA.
OLA. The shenanigans continue on The Men's Room Radio Network.
99.9 KISW and KISW HD1, Seattle, a radio.com station.
This is The Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The Drippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Rachel Casola standing by. We'll take caller 9-844-999. Ola, you'll play profile this in minutes. And we do have your headlines on the way 1 hour from now. First, quick check into Mike Hawk for some of the stories and headlines he is not working on.
All right, a 41-year-old woman in Louisiana recently got 10 years in prison for lying on her resume. She landed a $100,000 a year job back in 2015 after she copied someone's entire resume off LinkedIn and got busted for fraud when they found out.
Huh. Is it fraud just because she took it off of LinkedIn, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, people lie on a resume all the time. I mean, that's what you do, right? But
she's kind of...
She stole someone's identity, I guess?
Basically,
used that.
Right?
Huh. Did they not call a reference?
Yeah.
We've said it a lot. I don't know why they put... Here's my... Well, they'll probably call a reference. I've just always thought it was stupid, because if you ask someone, hey, you provide me a name of someone to give you a reference, I fully expect that you're going to give you a glowing review. You are supplying... If I got to pick my own jury for a court case, guess what? They're probably going to lean innocent, right?
But if I say that I'm Steve Hill...
Yeah.
And I've got your resume...
Okay.
And someone calls your former boss and says, hey, Steve Hill, should I hire him? They go, oh, yeah, Steve's a great guy. Definitely hire him. They don't know that I'm not. I'm just stealing your identity.
Did she take the...
She just took
or
the...
Or does it go by, you're still Miles Montgomery, but you took my entire work
experience. Yeah, see, that would be what I'd be curious to find out. Yeah. Did you steal the person and the resume, or did you just steal their credentials on paper and change your name, you know?
Probably. I'm guessing they did not take her name because she only got charged with fraud.
And we'll never find out because I'm not working on it.
Oh, good.
A woman in Wisconsin got into a chase with police on Saturday, but when they caught her and started giving her a sobriety test, she got mad because she made it clear to them that she was not drunk. She just smoked crack.
Oh, she was high. She wasn't. Yes. Yeah, well, that makes sense, because if they said she was drunk and she said, look, I'm not drunk, I'm flying on crack. At least she was honest. I mean, it's not that you're... it's not right.
It's the thing we were saying yesterday with kids. Oh, my God, Billy. Did you go home drunk? No, relax, I'm on crack. See, I didn't ask that. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask that part. You have, inevitably, I'm going to say, what might you be on? Go ahead and fill me in. But if I didn't ask, don't tell.
Because you can get one count of felony attempting to flee.
Almost like she was insulted. Like, damn, I don't drink.
I don't drink. It's for losers.
Come on. It's for crack. Dummy.
Go all the way. There's a video making the rounds of a woman shamelessly shaving her legs at a hotel pool in Florida, using the pool water to rinse off the blades.
Did you see the picture?
It's not good. No, don't look at it.
It's
whatever
horrific.
You do not look at this picture. Please.
You don't want this woman's leg hair.
Do not Google woman shaving her legs.
Let me throw this curveball at you. Is that the worst thing that is in that pool?
It's up there.
Probably not.
I mean, it's hair.
Yeah.
There's hair floating all around in there.
I don't know.
Check the drain.
I don't know. Where did that idea come from? You're like, I'll just kill two birds.
Look, man, we understand. Look, I pee in the pool.
If you saw the woman, you'd know, Miles.
And I have no problem saying that I pee in the pool, but what I don't do is, hey, guys, I'm going to go pee in the pool.
You know?
You don't stand with your hands on your hips and you're doing it.
Only in the ocean.
Right.
Not in the pool.
Honestly, for her, that's a terrible idea. You just shave your legs and you pour some chlorine in there?
Did you see her?
I did not click
on it. I just don't think it's a concern. I think that might be the best way. I don't think she cared.
I think she was getting ready for some lighter on Lovin', you know?
No, she wasn't.
No, she was not.
I just shaved. Everything's clean.
I'm saying she had a surgery because... I can't think of any other reason.
All smooth.
Trader Joe's just released their own knockoff version of Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Yeah, but it's a healthy version, so who cares?
That's pretty much what they're saying.
Yeah.
What do they call them?
I don't know.
If I'm going to eat Flamin' Hot Cheetos, I'm going to eat Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Yeah. I also think maybe there's only, like, so healthy of a version you can make a Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
It's a Cheeto.
Right.
Keep your expectations low. Like, don't demand a healthy Cheeto.
I saw them baked. Cheeto. I saw them baked. They have baked Cheetos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When someone cancels plans, are you disappointed or relieved? Let's take a poll.
When what happened now?
Depends
when,
on the person.
Yeah, when somebody person cancels plans, are you disappointed or relieved?
It, man, 50-50. Truly depends what the plans are.
And, what the and who the people are.
According to a new survey, 53% of people say they're usually disappointed. 22% are usually relieved. I got to say, I'm usually in the relieved.
Like I said, it depends
I'm really
on,
happy
it depends on the situation.
I suppose.
Like, Mike, if you were to say, hey, let's play golf sometime. You like playing golf, right?
I do.
And at the last minute, you call me up and said, hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. We're not going to play today. I'd be like, oh, that sucks.
True.
So, but, you know, if I was, like, getting laid and and you called, I'd be like, you know what, man? No, it's everything's cool, man. I'm just going to stay
don't
here.
Don't worry about it. Reschedule. Yeah, right.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah. Parents spend an average of $170 a week to entertain their kids during the summer, according to a new study.
And
the
is that
time,
all?
And the time involved is painful. Once they're back in school, that drops to $66 a week.
Because they're there all the time.
That is a glorious moment, man.
Bye.
I mean, it really, and you know, you hate to say it, you love your kids, right? All that stuff. But they, look, here's the long and short of it. They have more energy than you do, and the things they want to do a lot of times suck. So you spend a lot of energy doing crappy things. By the end of the summer, I'm telling you, they're kind of mopey because they got to go back to school. Man, it is so hard to wipe the grin off my face. I cannot explain how awesome it is.
And I know this sounds ridiculous because most people should do this, but I don't think most people do. But they eat like 3 meals a day, and then they snack the entire time in between. So, like, right. When they get up at 6:30, like, you need to get up and make them breakfast. Now, you might not eat breakfast at that point.
No,
you might
eat breakfast. They didn't ask you to join them.
And then at 11 o'clock,
that's not what they
said. You need to make them lunch unless they're old enough to do it on their own. And then you got to make them another meal. Then you got to clean up. And then they snack the whole goddamn time. And then you need to make them dinner. And then you like, and then they want to snack after that. And then it's like
they never stop eating.
And they just don't. It's like it's amazing.
And they don't pay for a damn thing.
It's amazing.
We have a news update. The serial toilet clogger of Sheboygan has been caught.
Of course it's Sheboygan. I don't know why that makes it so much better.
Sheboygan!
I think I remember that. Somebody was like shoving plastic bottles down into the toilet or something.
Yeah, I do remember that, yes.
Sheboygan!
They have been caught.
How'd they catch them?
I have no idea. I'm not working on it.
I don't want to ask.
They just camped in the toilet.
He needs a better name.
Maybe they,
the Sheboygan toilet clogger.
Maybe they got a sample and then they matched it up.
No, he was using plastic bottles.
Oh.
This was not him pooping in toilets that were so thick and massive they couldn't flush. Right.
So what, they just fingerprint it?
Oh.
The bottle, you mean?
Yeah.
Not the turd.
I don't...
Everyone's turd is unique, sure. Like a thumbprint.
They're like snowflakes. Every poop is unique.
I bet it's true. I bet there's, I bet there's never been two...
Similar, but not the same.
Yeah, some
same.
Woman posted a
composition
sexy...
would be different.
Some woman posted a sexy selfie she took in her bathroom mirror. But the internet is more concerned with why her toilet paper roll is so far away from her toilet.
How far is it?
I have no idea. I'm not working on it.
So what the problem
but
is
I'm curious now.
There was a great one a couple of years ago. Same thing. She takes a selfie in a bathroom mirror. And then the reflection, realized she hadn't flushed the toilet. And there's just poop floating in there. And same thing. Everyone's like, come on, man. You got to at least flush the toilet before you're going to send a selfie.
Yes.
Don't send selfies with your itchy ass. All that stuff.
It's weird, too, how like some bathrooms, it's too far away or it's too close.
I'm going to be too close. Can't be too close unless it's in the toilet, man.
Yeah, it's too close, man. I got big thighs.
Yes, Ted. I
seriously.
Feel you.
Okay.
I'm with you.
No, yes. You know, I never considered that. My bad.
Or it's too low. Damn it.
Of the toilet paper.
Yeah, I got to bend all the way down to grab it. Check. Damn it. A flight from San Francisco.
Oh, all right. They're justified.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
They're justified. Here's the toilet right here, and the toilet paper's all the way over on the other side.
Yeah, but
they put
the... That's not on her. That whoever made this home.
Oh, yeah, no, it's
they
not.
Put the... Right, it's on... What the hell? That's convenient.
Is that a paper towel rack?
Yes.
Right. A flight from San Francisco to L.A. was forced to make an emergency landing, but not because something was actually wrong with the plane.
Why is that?
I'll tell you all about it 1 hour from now.
Thank you, Mike Hawk. Headlines are on the way 1 hour from now. First, the game is...
The Men's Room presents... Profile This.
And Stephen Thrill-Hilgen, to please everyone how Profile This is played.
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes a story a story. Hello, Robbie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, Bichola.
Hola. All right, Sloppy Robbie, you understand how this here game is played?
Yes, sir, Mr. Thrill, I do.
Fantastic. Let's go to the wonderful state of Florida. I know that's a shock to everyone. In this case, Bonita Springs, where a holdup at a 7-Eleven failed when the would-be robber pointed his finger and demanded cash from the register. As you might expect, the person behind the register was unimpressed by the weapon brandish, and the store clerk refused to comply. The suspect, a young male with his shirt pulled over his head to obscure his face, he didn't force the issue. He ran empty-handed out of the store to his getaway vehicle. Now, the Southwest Florida Crime Stoppers, they described the suspect as a male in his early 20s, approximately 5'8", 165 pounds. The robbery attempt occurred on a Wednesday morning. And then they go on to point out that most pistol pantomimists, as they call them, they know to at least conceal...
Good wordplay.
Yeah. Pistol pantomimists.
Mm-hmm.
You want to conceal your hand in your clothing or in your pocket so the people maybe think. They said this guy just had his hand out as a finger gun, which they said that's kind of like trying finger to bluff gun. At poker by laying down your cards. Now, my question is, do you believe that this cunning criminal is black, white, Mexican, or Asian? Asian. Asian.
Oh, man.
I think that's on the West
Coast. But before I answer, I want to go to the
racial consultants.
Professionals.
Yeah, ethnicity right professionals. There.
Did you say he got arrested?
No, he just took off. Because the clerk's like, I'm not giving you anything for your finger, man.
All right. And he just took off.
Took off, run.
And they're not worried about finding him.
I don't know if they're worried about they have not found him yet. I don't know how hard they're going to look. It's not like he had a weapon, so he's not armed or dangerous.
And then the other question is, did they describe the shirt as being, like, from the back pulled over his head? Or could you see, like, his stomach and he had the front of it pulled over his face?
I'm not 100%.
All right. I feel like...
I like where you're going.
If he's pulling his shirt up, he's white. If he's pulling it over, he's black. Is that what you're thinking?
No. I think if he pulls it over from the back, then he's white because he's doing a cornholio thing.
Cornholio.
From Beavis and Butthead.
All right.
Right? He pulls it up
from the cornholio,
front,
yes.
That's a little more... cowboyish, a little more gangster.
White men can't jumpish.
Okay. But he used his finger. Because he used his finger. I'm saying white.
Robbie, a finger gun guy. What do you think? Final answer.
Yeah, final answer. You know what, Ted? You've been actually really good on these lately, but I'm going to go with Mexi.
Going to go Mexican. Final answer.
Okay.
All right. Okay, Robbie. We'll find out if the finger criminal was black, white, Mexican, or Asian next.
That was a tease.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Back to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Well, Father, this takes us to Florida, Bonita Springs to be exact, and a guy who wanted to rob a 7-Eleven at, some early morning hour of Wednesday morning, but he didn't have a gun, and he basically pulled his shirt over some portion of his face and then used the old finger gun to try to rob the guy, and I guess that did not work.
It did not work. The guy apparently not threatened by his finger. I guess he used his finger the wrong way. But Robbie, we asked you, did you believe this guy was black, white, Mexican, or Asian? Now, Ted, your racial consultant, he leaned white based on the fact, wasn't a real gun, just tried to use his finger.
Also, you admitted the fact that Ted's been hot lately.
And Ted's been on a roll lately.
Yeah.
And Robbie, you said, man, thanks, I hear you, but I got to go Mexi. You're just feeling Mexi.
Sorry.
And it was?
He was white.
Oh, so Ted has been hot lately, but no, I'm not going to pick him.
You're right. Exactly. You've been great, Ted.
You're on fire, man. You've really been picking up everything, but I'm going to stick with my gut and lose. Now for all the TV news all time. Time for TV Time with Ted.
And now. Because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box.
I'm again.
The Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
All right, Miles.
Okay.
All right, Mike. This one's for you guys.
Thanks,
you two thrill, but I just...
I'm a goddamn afterthought. Screw you. It was so obvious. All right, Miles. All right, Mike. Pause. You too, man.
I just, for what I think
didn't realize you were in the car
like,
also.
I can't even imagine what's going on here. Like a show about vegetables?
No. It's about awesome cats.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
I got a cat.
Rainbow. Rainbow. No, he had cats in a meadow.
Damn, man.
His cats used to
I got a cat, too. My cat's fine. This guy never did anything.
Actually, you had a cat when I first met you.
Yeah, two.
Oh, God, that's
right. Two, until he lost one of them.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Eventually lost both.
Eating my fleas, the first one.
Yeah, Mike, this one's for you.
That's right.
Robin, you like cats? All right, cool. You can get in on this. So, basically, I'm a dog guy, all right? I don't mind a cat, but it's not the most exciting thing for me. I like a big cat. Watch it, you know, Big Cat Diary, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So cats, generally, most people, when you see them, it's like, oh, what's this cat going to do? Because cats have a mind of their own. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that.
They can turn in a dime, man.
Right. On a recent episode of America's Got Talent, basically, the judges kind of... Simon Cowell. Everybody kind of agrees, but just listen to the reaction.
My name is Marina, and this is my mom, Svetlana.
And what do you do?
We train cats.
Cats?
Yes, cats.
Why? How many?
10 cats and 1 dog.
Wow.
Yeah.
That poor dog. Well, there's $1 million up for grabs. I'm headlining Vegas, so good luck.
I hope you like.
Right? So everybody's like, oh, this isn't going to be that big of a deal. When those cats come out, it is amazing.
But what does she have these cats doing?
Well, number one, they're doing like, you know, like the dog drills where they like hop through stuff and that. The cats are doing that, all right? But then at one point, like they're putting like poles across, right? So there's nothing underneath and they're anchored on each end. And the cats are upside down, like crawling across it.
Like
they're
army crawling.
Yes! They're jumping through hoops that have paper in it.
You like cats now more, huh?
Well, those cats. More now?
Yeah, those cats.
Those are cool cats.
Yeah. You just got to get them from a mom and daughter from Russia.
There you go.
We are very bored here.
We train cats.
What do we do to be famous?
Go to the Men's Room Facebook page, and I guarantee you, you have never seen trained cats act like this. Maybe Siegfried and Roy's. But
no, obviously not.
Right, because one turned.
Right, because remember, oh, I'm a tiger. That's right.
What do tigers dream of? Yeah, but seriously, man, that's one of the coolest things. America's Got Talent, by the way. That's a good, like, fun kind of summertime show. Like,
you know what? Because your kids are home. I mean, think about it. Your kids are home from school, so a lot of these American Ninja Warriors, stuff like this, like you can like it or not like it, but you can sit down with the kids. Kids are fine to watch it, and it won't kill you.
Yeah, and Friday shows are good because no matter what your talent is, you get a chance to go out there and show people how odd it could be, how good you are, or whatever it is.
But even if you suck, like it's Gong still entertaining.
Show, yeah, Gong Show used to do that a long time ago.
Two women suck
America's
pop
Got
singers.
Talent, whatever it is. Just, you know, basically like, look, if you can do it and people are entertained by it, more power to you.
No, and you're absolutely right. Variety shows have been around forever. They'll stick around, right? It's like, I don't know, you know, little kids, right? Or not little kids, but like kids in school and stuff. You go see their talent shows or this or that. It's basically just a variety show.
It's a very loose term they use there.
Yeah, Jenny's going to say.
They should call it an aspiration show. Like, come to your students' aspiration show. This is the talent they'd like to have. It's not quite there yet, but watch as they fail.
Yeah, or like Showtime at the Apollo had amateur night. Like, there's always that kind of stuff. Now, Simon Cowell, of course, is one of the judges there on America's Got Talent. He used to be on American Idol. You know, Simon Cowell's an interesting character. He can kind of, I don't know, he could be a little rougher. Not rough, but kind of bristly.
Sure, he's the guy who won't change his baby's diaper. He's just kind of one of those old... You know, he's that guy.
But
he has no problem being that hands-off. Like, I'm too cool for that. And that's just who he is.
Yeah, I agree with you. But he was one of the hosts of American Idol. So basically, somebody just asked him what he thought about that, and Simon gave his thoughts on it.
John?
Oh, that was a good answer.
I think, truthfully, no, I'm not. I'm genuinely not interested. I think when we were on it years ago, it was a fun show. You know, it was different. Again, it was kind of naive, lots of surprises. Now, we were talking about doing it again, but I kind of think we've been there. Or I've been there. Time for something new.
Yeah,
sounds very Robert Plantish. You know, like, you know, we did Zeppelin and I'm done.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I agree with them.
So does most of the audience, I think. You know, like, I think most people do.
Yeah. And I think there might be a hint in that, too. Like, well, we talked about it a couple years ago, and, like, nobody wanted us back. Now you guys want it. He's like, I got this other thing happening.
I mean, Family Feud could survive without Steve Harvey, but it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be as funny. Well, it wouldn't be as...
Well, but he wasn't the guy.
Yeah, he survived for decades.
Right.
It has, but now it's really popular because of Steve Harvey. It's more popular now based on the viralness of the clips from Steve Harvey joking around than it ever was when Richard Dawson hosted or anybody else. So they could continue. They just need to have someone... funnier and better at hosting it than Steve Harvey, which, you know, if they can pull that off, great. But I don't know, man. He's gone. I kind of think that thing kind of takes a dive.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Family Feud. I mean, right, that thing's lasted for generations.
Right. I think Steve Harvey got lucky that he got that gig, right? It's not like Steve Harvey, but it's like, it's hard to F that up. You know, the show builds itself. Mm-hmm. You got these people making their guesses. They're going to go crazy. But, like, the survey, people that are surveyed provide the answers. So whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter. That part's taken care of. And then the families do the rest. You just have to be somewhat quick-witted. You know, take advantage of the dumb things they say. And he's great at it. But, I mean, that's a nice gig to have.
I think most of that gig is just kind of laughing and reacting.
Yeah, it is.
And right? I don't even mean saying something funny. I mean, literally just him walking around the studio.
Right, exactly. Just not being able to keep it together.
Slapping his hand. Simon Cowell talking about Britain's Got Talent or America's Got Talent. He said, you know, honestly, he goes, I think we get better singers on those shows now than we do on some of the singing shows.
Absolutely.
And the other thing that has it help, besides the talent shows in the summer, is honestly The Voice just kind of, they whoop the butt of American Idol
right now. Exactly what you expect, and that's what he said. He said that, you know, it was more unexpected. You didn't know what you were going to get. And on the talent shows, you don't know that someone's going to come in there and have the greatest voice ever because they could do anything. So, yeah. You know, you're expecting whatever. So
right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, go to the men's Facebook page. Watch the looks on their face when that cat thing starts. Like, they are ready to just...
Oh, yeah.
Put this thing in Vegas.
Gong or whatever they do.
No, I'm saying, like, they're ready to just exit and be done with it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because
sometimes I have trained cats. You'd be like, to be nice, we're going to let them perform. Okay. But you know, we'd look at each other and be like, God damn it, man.
Yeah, like, because even when the thing starts, if you watch the video, like, they kind of, somebody under their breath is just like, it's a cat. It does what it wants. And then you got Mission Impossible cats.
Cat does what it wants.
Right?
I mean, I'm Liam Neeson, the cat. I have a special set of skills as he's talking to the mouse on the other side of the wall. I will find you, and I will kill you.
I have claws inside of these paws.
But I will take 20 minutes to kill you, because first I will play with you while I listen to your little mouse screams, because it turns out nature has made me a serial killer. I am actually freaking insane.
Speaking of Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson.
Yeah. And then who's the guy that's playing Bond right now?
Daniel Craig.
All right. Daniel Craig. I saw a headline that said Daniel Craig was done being Bond till they offered him the money.
Yes. Of course. Oh, yeah. Oh, he said that I'm done with that role. Oh, how much? Yes, I'm back.
I think he even said something. You couldn't get me to do this game for like $50 million. How about 51? My name is Bond. James Bond.
Like, come on, dude. I've been watching a lot of hockey lately because I'm a Washington Capitals fan. They've been doing well. But one thing, and honestly, Miles, you might have tipped me off to this. Like, it's kind of fun to watch the CBC. That's the Canadian Broadcasting Channel.
Yes.
They have, you know, first of all, hockey was invented in Canada. So yes. They care a lot about it. One of the most Canadian things you can ever do is play pond hockey. So I like watching them. Don Cherry, during the intermissions, most people know him. If you're American, you might not know Don Cherry, but think Steve Harvey. Remember when Steve Harvey used to wear those ridiculous suits?
Yeah.
So think those crazy suits. I mean, floral patterns, this and that, but just an older white guy with a very white goatee. And he's Canadian through and through. But in the breaks, he's awesome, right? So I love Don Cherry, so I've been watching the CBC. And then I just kind of got stuck on the channel, and they have a show called The Nature of Things.
All right.
And they just go in and start, like, dissecting things. So last night's, and I can see right now what you're thinking. Do you know why? It was about body language.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, like, these micro little things you do or don't do when you're thinking about lying or not lying. Like, the first part of it just started out whether or not, like, you're in a good spot or you're just stressed out. And then these, you know, they were saying, like, basically, sometimes in our lives.
You're really high at this point, aren't you? Because this is what I dive into this stuff as well. I'm just making sure I got that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, stoned to the bejesus.
You're doing larger, you know?
Yeah. No, this stuff is interesting.
Oh, we got it. Right.
No, I'm fascinated by it.
Right. So they were just saying there's sometimes where, like you're uncomfortable, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you got to still kind of play along. Basically, you got to laugh at somebody's joke or whatever. Sure. Or even if they come into the room, like, for whatever reason, you have to act like you like these people, but maybe you don't. So they were just saying, like...
Yeah, like your kids, somebody like that.
Right? So you'll smile when they come in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know this, but they were just saying there's, like, these little micro things that, like, before you smile, you'll kind of, like, a... And I was like, oh, yeah. And they're like, they happen so fast. Like, basically, you'll almost frown or kind of, like, give, like, a...
Because your true reaction is, you know, oddly enough, I was stoned last night, and I'm reading this thing about the brain. It's just funny you say it.
All right.
Difference between your subconscious and your unconscious. And the guy, he's putting it in layman's terms, but you kind of hit it, okay? So he said, look, your conscious is what you choose to do. And he said, to give you an example, if you walk down the street, there are a million things going on around you. Things you hear, things you see, but conscious, your brain has told you what you need to focus on. So you just want to get to the next sidewalk, cross the street. Yes, you hear there's traffic. There's no need to regard it unless your ears pick up that the way it triangulates the sound, that it's close enough you need to pay attention. All right?
Yeah.
So your subconscious, though, as they explain it, is reacting before your consciousness. And the way they said it, your subconscious goes back to your primitive brain, and it picks up on everything first. Your reaction, the way you choose to respond to something, that's kind of higher complex thinking. So that happens last. So when you walk into this room and someone is not actually happy to see you, that billionth of a second where their face is frowning, that's the subconscious basically letting you know, hey, Ted's here.
Yeah.
You know, but within a billionth of a second, your conscious is like, but you got to act like you like them. The problem is, yeah, if you're looking at them, you see that, and they're like, then your subconscious picks up, and then you have both of these people with that weird plastic smile having that conversation.
Yeah.
And talking like this so they can get away. And then, oddly, and I'll bring this up. One of the things that's said about your subconscious, they said it's why sometimes you'll step off of an elevator on the wrong floor. You're thinking about something else. Your subconscious knows, hey, when the door opens, get off. But you don't think to look at the floor. So I did this earlier today as a point, all right? On the elevator, the door opens. I step out and basically crash into this woman. I said, man, I'm sorry. Just completely in a daze. So I didn't realize it wasn't my floor. And I told her. And I was even reading a book about this yesterday. So she goes, oh, don't worry about it. I do it all the time. So we go up. The elevator door opens. She steps out, crashes into a woman. She's like, oh, my God, I just did it. I'm like, are you being serious? Yeah. I mean, just one after the other.
Yeah. I mean, they even broke down just like the way bodies move or whatever. And like he's talking about how quickly like it works in your brain. You just like you could decide. It decides for you, your subconscious within a second. Like, is it a man or a woman? Is it dangerous
so I like this
coming
person.
At me?
Well, all am I happy stuff. To see them? Am I upset to see them?
But your body's determined this before you're consciously aware of how it goes, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's why
so
that's
weird,
why,
though.
Oh, that's been, it's just instinctual. It's just your reaction.
Yeah. And I thought it was kind of funny because it was Canadian broadcasting. They were talking about lying, right?
Okay.
So, the thing about shifty eyes and this and that. Sure. The guy was basically like, don't believe that garbage. He was like, good liars, whether they are kind of psychopathic and believe it, or they're just good liars. But, again, it was Canadian, and the example they used was Clinton going, I'd not have sexual relations with that woman. And they were like, look how angry he is. So they basically were like, this is actually how liars are going to lie.
Let me tell you something,
I was like, wow.
I did not show her the Arkansas wax snake.
Man.
Yeah.
Do not believe it has a curve in it like she is describing. All right, maybe do.
It was some pretty cool stuff there.
I would love it.
She doesn't do dry cleaning enough.
I'll tell you something right now.
Let's see. David Letterman, he's been a nighttime TV host forever.
Now he's Santa Claus.
Now he's Santa Claus. He's got that beard. Recently he was talking with Seth Meyers, and they talk about baby food in a way.
My friend Dr. Lou Aroney and the guy who delivers the baby, the orthodontist, the obstetrician. Yeah. Lou Aroney and myself, we order like $400 worth of Chinese food. We go down to the break room, and we're eating Chinese food. I'm telling you, this pissed her off. Today, she's still pissed off about it.
We're
down there eating Chinese food. I said, well, Regina, these guys delivered. You weren't.
That's a funny antidote for, like, being on a talk show, but, like, you guys have seen childbirth, like, I know it takes a while, but that seems risky to just order up a bunch of Chinese food with you and your buddies.
Oh, yeah, it's a risk, but yeah. You know. Because the problem is, man, they say all the stuff that you're not, in, like, it's the same stuff you hear in like, medical TV shows, but you realize it doesn't mean anything to you, all right? So if you watch some TV show and they go, she's a 10 millimeter, centimeters, whatever it is, right? Like, that is something. Like, that means something. And you realize when you're in that situation, you'll hear a nurse say that, and you're like, hot damn, right? This is go time. Nah, not really.
No.
You know, but like, we don't, because they keep saying different things, or it's dilated this much, and the whole time I'm like, I don't know what any of this means, if this is good. Just tell me when the baby's coming.
I would say this, too. My advice would be tread on, like walk on eggshells. And then when the epidural goes in the back, it's like the person that you're with has been put on acid. And they don't feel the pain, and basically the cares go away. You have a better chance of getting away with something like, you mind if I run across the street real quick and get a Big Mac?
Just some Chinese?
After the epidural.
Oh,
just wait for the epidural, and then that will help you more than you talking yourself into a whole will.
You know what it is? I mean, it's like an exorcism. Because there's one person there when they're feeling the pain, and I understand it, and the things that might be directed your way, not unlike Linda Blair talking to the priest in the movie, not all of it's flattering. And then the epidural happens, which I'm pretty sure is they just pump holy water directly into the spine, and then the demon goes away.
It's true.
I know zero about being in a birthing room with a woman.
A birthing room.
Giving birth still is...
We got birthing rooms.
You can obviously say that this is very painful and not a good experience, but it's much better, it seems, when the epidural kicks in.
For everybody.
I just think going to get Chinese food with your buddies is a bad call, Mr. Letterman. That's why he says she still brings it up to this day. Like, I bet she's still pissed.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Thank you, Ted. We appreciate it. There you go. TV Time with Ted. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. Tennessee man gets to spend the night in jail after showing judge his naked butt. Meanwhile, a Florida man who tried to hold up a 7-Eleven with a finger gun is qualified as a bit of a nut. In Jackson, Mississippi, where a woman gives birth at abortion clinic during exam. Father of the year leaves kid in car, and it's repoed, so kid's now living with Graham. And Southwest flight diverted by a bathroom stoner. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the headlines. Here's my car.
All right, our top story. We take to the skies, where a plane from San Francisco to L.A. was forced to make an emergency landing after the smoke alarm went off, but there was no fire. Turns out someone just decided to take a quick break to smoke some pot in the plane bathroom.
Let me give you an idea. That is one of the shortest flights that can possibly be taken on the West Coast. I can't even imagine there's beverage service, because once you get to altitude, you drop straight back down.
Right. Pretty much.
You can't, for 45 minutes, an hour, maybe, say, go without smoking weed in the bathroom? No.
It's addictive. You can't put it down.
Oh, God.
They warned us about this in school.
Oh, my God.
The alarm went off and the smell was offending nearby passengers, so the plane made an emergency landing where the man was arrested after the plane landed. Why didn't it make an emergency landing in San Francisco? Or LA, wherever it was going.
You know why? Because you have to wait at San Francisco because there's so much traffic.
Maybe.
San Jose is more of an open-end. Like, you can land at John Wayne, but if it's backed up or whatever, they'll say, like, we're going to take you to San Jose. That's great, but how do I get my connection?
I mean, the guy is a complete idiot.
Right.
Yes. But I kind of agree with you. Like, Mike and the other passengers, like, well, we're already here.
Right. Put us down in L.A.
And, like, what are you going to do? Arrest him quicker? Like, he's not getting off the plane.
Right. Bonus, though, when you get to San Jose, one of the nicest airports in the country with the best restaurants and food and drinks in any airport I've ever been in.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Around the world, we go to Melbourne, where three drunk men work together to steal a priceless artifact from a bar. The name of the bar is Mjolnir.
It's what?
Mjolnir.
All right.
Which you might know is the name of Thor's hammer. It has a whiskey decanter in the bar in the shape of Thor's hammer, Mjolnir. It's like the namesake of the bar and all that. Three men came into the bar recently and distracted staff enough to where one of them could make off with the hammer under their jacket. The bar, along with patrons and police, are banding together in a quest to find and return Mjolnir to the bar.
I'm going
to
ask you a question.
I tell ladies Thor's hammers in my underwear.
I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to Thor Marvel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Technically also a Norse god.
I understand.
Yeah, okay.
I'm still thinking about the cartoon I watched as a kid.
Yes. Marvel. Very good. In other news, in Chattanooga, a man was sent to prison for doing the unspeakable to a police officer during a court hearing. He was initially sentenced to 3 days in jail for contempt of court, which was lowered to the night that he served in jail. His crime? He mooned a police officer.
Look at my butt.
Dang.
In court.
You just want to go to jail.
He dropped his pants multiple times to this officer, and the judge told him, stop dropping your pants.
All right, so it wasn't a one moon incident.
No. He wouldn't.
You shouldn't even do that.
It's a full moon.
I know you should.
It's a full moon.
Multiple times.
In the full moon.
At least we know kind of where the line is on mooning cops in court.
Right. How many times can I show you my ass?
It's kind of amazing. The judge is like, one more time and I hold you in contempt.
I'll do it.
The best situation is when you're showing them the harvest moon, because then you're eating.
The battle of man versus
the blood moon.
The battle of man versus beast continues. Today's episode takes us to Lisbon, where a zoo goer decided to ignore the feeding ban and offered some delicious food to a giraffe at the zoo. The 11-year-old giraffe fell into the ditch, separating it from the public and sustained injuries bad enough to kill the animal.
Damn!
The zoo has repeatedly asked the public to not feed animals, saying that they are well-fed and don't need any outside food for the public.
Apparently he was hungry.
Hang on, though. You had
one of the dog that they never stop eating, a beagle.
Yeah.
They're not hungry.
No.
Maybe giraffes are insatiable. The same way.
They just forget to stop eating. I think beagles just get, what am I doing?
All the food in the giraffe goes to their neck.
Right. I'm just wondering how long
it takes the food to even just get to the stomach where they're hungry. You're a giraffe, right? Like, you ate 3 hours ago. You don't even know that you're full yet because the food hasn't got there.
I'm just trying to figure out how long that ditch is because it's obviously meant to keep the giraffe in. I mean, it keeps it away from the public so that it can't just run over and jump over the fence, right? And how long is this fence to where this guy still felt that he could attempt to hand the giraffe some food?
Let me ask you a question.
Hit me.
All right?
That's
every
headline for that. Mike Hawk is out.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time for the turn of Ted versus the FCC. Bad jokes, and we will drink and toast with a shot of the day.
Yes, indeed. It is all true, but in the meantime, we be all about this badge. So until tomorrow, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.